This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Ayah number 120. ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى. And never will the Jews or the Christians approve of you. حتى تتبع ملتهم. Until you follow their religion. The Prophet ﷺ is being addressed over here, first of all. And then after him, every single believer is being told. What are we being told? That the Jews and Christians will never be happy with us. They will never approve of us until and unless we follow their millah. لن ترضى. ترضى is from the root letters را ضاد يا. رضي رضي الله عنهم. Allah is pleased with them. So ترضى. The ta at the beginning indicates she. And she is being used, why? Because it refers to the group of al-Yahud, the group of al-Nasara. So لن ترضى, meaning they will never ever be happy. This is never going to happen. They're never going to be happy. They're never going to approve of you. Anka, from you, al-Yahudu wal al-Nasara. We see in this part of the ayah that the enmity of the Yahud and the Nasara for the Prophet ﷺ is being exposed over here. The Prophet ﷺ wanted hidayah for everybody. He wanted guidance for everybody. He had a desire for everyone to accept the message that he had brought to them. But here he is being told that do not expect that everybody is going to accept your message. Don't expect that everybody is going to accept the guidance that you have brought. We learn that the Prophet ﷺ wanted the people to accept the hidayah, and if they did not accept the guidance that he had brought to them, at least he wanted a good relationship with those people. For example, when the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, what happened? There were three groups of people, right? One group was of the believers, another group was of the mushrikeen, and another group was of the Yahud. And in order to live there with peace and harmony, what was the initiative that the Prophet ﷺ took? Of making the treaty with all of the groups so that the people could live in harmony. But what happened? Every now and then, the Yahud, they would come up with their objections, with their criticism, with their mockery, with their insults, with going against the treaty, violating the treaty. What was that showing? That they weren't accepting the Prophet ﷺ. They weren't approving of him at all. So over here, the Prophet ﷺ is being told that they're never going to be happy with you. So don't try to make them happy. And they're never going to be happy with you حَتَّى until تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ you follow their creed. You follow their religion. تَتَّبِعَ is from the root letters تَبَعِن تَبَعَ which means to follow. And اتِّبَعَ is to completely follow something. What does it mean by completely following something? Not leaving anything at all. So until and unless you completely follow their ways. Completely. Not partially, but completely. Not that you celebrate their Christmas with them or you celebrate their traditions with them. No. They want you to completely follow their ways. The word millah is from the root letters meem, lam, lam. Meem, lam, lam. And the word millah is used for a religion, for a creed. And the word millah also applies to the followers of a particular creed. It also applies to the followers of a particular creed. So basically the word millah is religious community. What's the main thing that unites these people? The same religion that they follow. Even if they are of different places and different times. The word millah is used for the followers of a religion, even if they are spread across different places and different times. What unites them is the same faith. So they will never be happy with you, no matter how much you try to make them happy, No matter how much you turn towards them with friendship, with good terms, they will never approve of you until you follow their religion. Notice the word is millah, until you follow their religion, their practices. So in other words, the Yahud will never be happy with you until you follow their faith. The Nasara will never be happy with you until you follow their faith. So what does it show? That they have a problem with your faith. They want you to leave your faith. And as long as you are on your iman, they're not going to approve of you. Qul say, meaning say to them, Inna indeed, Hudallah, guidance of Allah, Huwal Huda, it is the guidance. What does it mean by this? That indeed the guidance that is sent by Allah, the guidance that is offered by Allah, what is that guidance that has been offered to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Qur'an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is huwa, it alone is al-huda, the guidance. What does it mean by this? That only the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers is the true guidance. And anything else besides that is not guidance. The guidance that Allah offers is the guidance. Anything else besides that is not guidance. So if anybody else is calling us towards their religion, towards their faith, towards their community, what does that mean? If it's not the guidance that Allah has sent, then it is not correct. And it is not correct for us to follow it either. Also we learn that guidance is not that you become a part of a particular group. Because what did the Yahud want? That Muslims should leave their religion and become of their group. Similarly, the Christians wanted the same thing. So guidance is not attained by joining a specific group. Guidance is not attained by joining a specific group. But guidance is attained how? By following the guidance of Allah. We saw at the beginning of the lesson that each group, what is it doing? It is denouncing the other. It is saying the other is wrong and we are correct. And over here, we learn that guidance is not by joining one particular group, but guidance is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers. Allah says, وَلَا إِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ And surely, if you followed their desires, لَإِن لَإِن is a combination of لَ meaning surely and إِن meaning if. And remember that this lam, there is always an implied qasam. There is always an implied oath right before it. So la'in means, wallahi la'in. By Allah, surely, if, hypothetically speaking, if ittaba'ta ahwa'ahum, you followed their desires. Who does you refer to? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The word ahwa is the plural of the word Hawa. It is a plural of Hawa. And Hawa means desire. Literally it means to fall. What does the word Hawa literally mean? To fall. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا Hawa. So why are desires called Hawa or Ahwa? Why? Because sometimes they're so strong, they're so intense that a person cannot withstand them and he falls. Similarly, some desires are such that if a person pursues them, he falls in the sight of Allah. He falls down from his rank. So, وَلَا إِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ If you followed their desires. What does it mean by their desires? What does their desires refer to? Huh? The way that the Jews and the Christians are calling you to. Notice Allah doesn't say if you follow their religion, if you follow their creed. What is the word being used? Desires. Because their religion, their creed, is based not on truth, but it is based on their desires. So if you follow their desires, ba'da after, alladhi that, ja'aka min al-ilm, knowledge came to you. So if you follow their desires after knowledge has come to you, which knowledge is this referring to? The special knowledge which has been given through the Qur'an, through wahi, to the Prophet ﷺ. So directly the Prophet ﷺ is being addressed that if you, O Muhammad ﷺ, follow their desires after the wahi has come to you, ma, not, laka, for you, min Allah, from Allah. Min over here gives the meaning of against. So you will have against Allah no min waliyin, any wali, wala nasir, nor any nasir. If you follow their desires after knowledge has come to you, then you're going to have against Allah no friend and no helper. The word wali is from the root letters wa'ulamiya. And who is the word wali used for? A close, protecting friend. So what does it mean by wali over here? That you will find no friend, no guardian who could bring some benefit to you. Or you will find no guardian to protect you, to save you from being punished. And you will have no nasir. Nasir is from Nun Sadra. Who does nasir refer to? That you will find no helper to take you out of the difficulty that you have fallen into, out of the punishment that you may fall into. So what's the difference between wali and nasir? Wali is one who, first of all, brings khair. Secondly, protects from falling into shar, from falling into evil. And who is nasir? One who takes out from the trouble that one has fallen into. So if you leave your deen, if you abandon this knowledge, and instead you follow their desires, only to please them, only to satisfy them, only to get their approval, what's going to happen? You're going to find no wali and no nasir to help you against Allah. So over here we see that the address is specifically to the Prophet ﷺ, and after him, every single believer. What are we being told over here? What are we being told over here? What lessons do we learn from this verse? If we do not follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to follow, then what are we doing? We are losing the help of Allah. We are losing the assistance of Allah. We are losing the protection of Allah. If we look at our history, the Islamic history, for example, the Battle of Badr, how many Muslims were there? About 300? Fighting against how many? About 1,000? What made them victorious? Was it their strength? No. What was it that made them victorious? It was the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why did they get that help? Because they followed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to follow. And if we leave that which Allah wants us to follow, we're losing the help of Allah. We're losing the assistance of Allah. What else do we learn from this ayah? We shouldn't follow desires, we should follow deen. What's the message of this ayah? Many times, we leave the deen, we compromise in our religion. Why? To just get approval and praise from the people. And if we do get it in this dunya, how long is it going to last? For a few years? For a few days? There is an eternity up ahead of us. That should be given more priority. For example, many times, and because most of you over here are young, school going, university going, many times I've seen that, you know, when people go to their school, to university, meet their professors, meet the principal, or go to work, meet their boss. Many times when the simple issue of handshaking comes with a member of the opposite gender, what do we think? I can't give a bad impression. I can't give a bad impression. And what do? We compromise. I have seen girls in hijab shaking their hands with men. Why? Because they're the professor, they're the principal. And there are others as well who say that this is a part of my religion, I'm sorry I cannot do that, I still respect you. You can still get the proper attention and they will respect you for who you are. I remember when I went to university and we got the opportunity to meet with our professors and also the principal, all the professors, the deans, they were coming up, you know, it was a personal meeting and we were meeting them. And alhamdulillah, my father was there with me. So every time a professor or a dean would take their hand out, I would stay behind and I would say, I'm sorry, I cannot do it because it's not allowed in my religion. And my father would extend his hand out. Many times at these situations, what do? We compromise. We say, oh no, I have to make them happy. I can't displease them. But Allah says over here, no matter what you do, you cannot make them happy. They will only be happy with you when you leave your religion or when you join them. And if you do that, that's it, your akhirah is gone. It starts with small things, with little things. It begins with a handshake. It begins with, you know, let me just not wear this, or let me wear this instead. Let me leave one salah. And it continues until a person loses his deen completely. One thing leads to the other, and a person doesn't even realize and he's gone so far away from his religion. When you stay firm on your religion, on your faith, then people respect you for who you are. And when you begin to compromise, they realize that you're neither here nor are you there. Another very important lesson that we learn from this ayah is that when a person has knowledge and he doesn't follow that knowledge, then what is he doing? He is following his desires. He's not ignorant, but he's following his desires. Many times we find that people go to a particular workplace and they're not allowed, you know, to take a break for their salah. But people who compromise, who miss their salah, they continue to compromise. But people who stand firm, eventually, they get their right.
So she would not let them like go for, especially for the Jummah prayer. So what happened was they had a test and she was like, okay, whatever you miss, I'm not going to let you guys do it again. And there was a test and he told her that I have to go, and she's like, no, you have to sit. And then he just got up and went to the masjid. And there were other Muslims like sitting there. When they saw him, they got up and they left the class. And it was like, that school is like, most of the people are Muslims there. So almost half of the class like went. And so if you are steadfast on your deen, people will respect you for that.
And remember that compromising in our deen is not going to take us anywhere. Neither benefit in the dunya nor in the hereafter.
Even then, when we think we made something to make them happy, actually, they look happy, but they are not still happy because they're going to attack us on something else after. That's why from the beginning, we have to stay strong. And I wanted to share an experience happened to me. I was going for work and I was new Muslim. And I decided I wanted to wear my hijab. So I was so worried, now I'm going to do, they're probably going to kick me out, I have to pay my debts, So anyway, I decided I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell them and I'm going to wear my hijab and it's okay, whatever happened, it's okay, inshallah. And subhanAllah, they not only accepted my hijab, they like hired a specialist to come and talk to everybody in my office to tell them about Islam and what was your hijab and it was fine and don't worry, she's not going to, like, you know, whatever is...
Alhamdulillah.
But subhanAllah, actually, it made it so easy, subhanAllah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Then you get the help of Allah as well. And when we begin to compromise the deen, then we lose the help of Allah. And then we're left on our own, defend for ourselves. We become used to compromising, we become used to leaving our deen, and we lose the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually. So over here, we are being told very clearly that no matter what you do, they're not going to be happy. So don't compromise your deen. Don't compromise your deen, especially when you have learned about it. Never compromise on your deen, because if you do so, you're going to lose the help of Allah. And without the help of Allah, you're nothing. Then Allah says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, those to whom we have given the book, يَتْلُونَهُ, they recite it. How do they recite it? حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, with its true recital. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمْ, آتَيْنَا is from the root letters Hamza, Ta, Ya. أَتَى is to come and آتَى is to give. So آتَيْنَا, we give. So those people to whom we have given them, what have we given them? Al-Kitab, the book. Which book is this? The book over here is ism jins. Al-Kitab is ism jins. So it refers to all of the revealed scriptures. So who are the people who were given the book? The Yahud were given the Torah. The Nasara they were given the Injil, and the Muslims, they have been given the Quran. So those people whom we have given the book, we have given the book and they have truly received the book. What about them? Allah says, يَتْلُونَهُ. They read it. They recite it. How do they recite it? حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. As is the right of reciting it. يَتْلُونَهُ is from the root letters تَ لَمْ وَاو. تَ لَمْ وَاو. تَلَا يَتْلُو تَلْوَن or تِلْ. تَلْ literally means to follow. تَلْوَن means to follow. And تِلَاوَ, which is from the same root letters, is to recite. But in particular, it is used for the recitation or the reading of revealed scripture only. You do not use the word tilawa for reading the newspaper. Okay? You don't use the word tilawa for that. Tilawa is used specifically for the reading, for the recitation of revealed scripture. And what kind of recitation is this? It is a recitation that is followed by understanding, because talwun literally means to follow. So tilawa is reading, is recitation, which is followed by the understanding. Or it is reading, recitation, that is followed by some action. So over here Allah says that these people, what do? They recite it, حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Haq is from the root letters ha, qaf, qaf, and haq means right, correct, true. So what does it mean by haqqa tilawatihi? As is the right of reciting it. Allah says about these people, ulaika yu'minuna bihi. They're the ones who actually believe in it. Who? Those who read the book as it should be recited. Now as for tilawa, there are three types of tilawa. There are three types of recitation. First of all, there is tilawa lafziyya. Tilawa lafziyya. What does it mean by lafziyya? Of the lafz, of the words. So the first type of recitation is the recitation of the words of the book. What we know as qira'ah. Recitation of the words of the book. What does that include? Reciting the words properly, reciting the mukharij properly, similarly, reciting the harakat properly, stopping at the proper places, etc. So the first type of recitation is tilawa lafziyya, in which the focus is on reciting the text correctly, reciting the words correctly, properly, as they were revealed, as they were taught to the Prophet ﷺ, without changing the words, without changing the harakat, without changing the order of the words, without changing the huruf. So the first is reciting the words. The second type of tilawa is tilawa ma'nawiyya. Ma'nawiyya is from ma'na. What does that mean? Meaning. So what does it mean by this type of tilawa? It is to understand the text of the book. To understand the text of the book. To know the meaning of the words as well. The first is the focus on the recitation of the words. The second tilawa is the focus on the understanding of the words. Because many times people just get stuck on perfecting their recitation. It is very essential. It is very important. But you cannot just focus on that and leave this tilawa, which is tilawa ma'nawiyya, which is to understand the text of the book. To understand the meaning of the book. To understand what it says. Because what's the point of just reading something without knowing what it says? There is reward in reciting, but the benefit is incomplete if a person does not know what he's reading. The third type of tilawa is tilawa of hukm, hukmiyya. Tilawa amaliyya. What does it mean by that? Of amal. Which is to implement and follow the commands that are given in the text. What does it mean? To implement and follow the commands that are given in the text. And at the same time, refrain from the prohibitions as well. So for example, in the Quran, we have been given certain commands. Tilawa includes following those commands. Similarly, in the Quran, we have been prohibited from certain things. Tilawa includes staying away from those prohibited things. Similarly, in the Quran, we have been given a lot of information, for example, about the previous nations, about the prophets, about the Day of Judgment. So, this type of tilawa includes confirming the truthfulness of all the information that has been given in the Quran as well. So what are the three types of tilawa? First of all, reading the text. Secondly, understanding the text. Thirdly, implementing the text. Over here Allah says, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. They recite it as it should be recited. What does it mean? That they recite it in all of these three ways. They recite the words, they understand the text, and they implement the commands as well. This is حق تلاوتي. Because حق is what? Right, correct, proper. So how is tilawa going to be proper when all of these three things are done? Similarly, حق تلاوته also gives us the meaning of that completely and accurately doing the tilawa. What does that mean? That they don't just read through a page or read through a surah, but when they recite the Quran, when they recite the text, how do they recite it? With tajweed. Similarly, when they put in an effort to understand the text, they don't just read the translation, but they go into the effort of really knowing the tafsir of the words. Right? Similarly, when it comes to applying, they don't just, you know, apply once or twice here or there, or pick and choose, but حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِي includes completely, and accurately reciting, understanding, implementing the text. So حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, as is the right of, correctly, completely, accurately, giving the due, giving the haqq of tilawa, not falling short, not leaving anything out. So we see that tilawa can be understood in another way, that it is of two types. The first type of tilawa is tilawa that is attam, meaning complete. What does it mean by tilawa attam? That when a person recites the Quran in all of these three ways, giving each of these three ways its due. Right? Tilawa that is attam, complete. What does it mean by that? That a person recites the Quran, how? In all of these three ways. He doesn't just focus on one aspect and ignore the other two aspects. No. He focuses on all of the three aspects. And how does he do it? Properly, giving each aspect its due. The second type of tilawa is tilawa that is naqis, tilawa that is incomplete. What does it mean by that? When a person focuses on only one aspect, or only two aspects. He only does the lafz, he doesn't pay attention to the ma'na, or he doesn't pay attention to the amal. This is what? Tilawa that is naqis. Similarly, a person is doing all of these three things, but he is not giving the haqq. For example, he is reading, but he doesn't pay attention to improving his tajweed. Similarly, he is understanding the text, he is applying, but he is only applying a few things. You know, one is that you try to apply everything, and the other is that a person does not even make the intention of applying anything. At least make the intention. Many times when we read the Quran, when we study, it seems so difficult. Sometimes it seems very difficult. But don't think that it's impossible. Make the niyyah, Allah will help you. So we see that tilawa tam is what is required of us. And tilawa naqis, if a person does tilawa naqis, meaning he reduces the haqq of the tilawa in any of these three aspects, then what? His tilawa is not acceptable. His tilawa is incomplete. And over here Allah says that those people to whom we have given the book, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. It is only such people who believe in the book. What does it mean by that? What does it mean by that? That if a person truly believes in the book, then he must focus on all three aspects of reciting the Quran. He must focus on all of these three aspects. So the one who gives the haqq of tilawah is the one who has iman upon the book. On the other hand, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ, and whoever disbelieves in it. Whoever disbelieves in what? In the book, in the kitab, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, then it is such people who are the losers. Al-khasirun is a plural of al-khasir. And khasir is one who suffers khusran. What is khusran? Loss. So those who disbelieve in the book, they are the ones who will suffer loss. What loss will they suffer? They will lose themselves. They will lose their families. They will lose their wealth. Everything in the hereafter. So we see that a person who gives the right of the book is the one who believes in the book. And the one who doesn't give the right of the book is one who doesn't really believe in the book. Meaning his iman is incomplete. His iman is incomplete. And notice over here Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, they are the ones who will suffer loss. Now we learned about the three aspects of tilawah. If a person does not give the haqq of reciting the Qur'an properly, or he doesn't focus on reciting the Qur'an at all, his focus is entirely on just understanding the text of the book and he doesn't bother reciting the Qur'an, is there any loss that he's going to suffer? What loss? Is he depriving himself of some reward? Of course he is. Of course he is. Similarly, if a person only focuses on the first two aspects and neglects implementing the kitab, is he depriving himself of some reward? Of course he is. Is he suffering loss? Of course he is. So those who do not give the haqq of the book, their iman in the book is incomplete. And they are the ones who suffer loss. This ayah primarily was revealed concerning the people of the book. Which people of the book? Those from among the Yahud who believed in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were given the Torah. They didn't just read the Torah. They understood the Torah. And they didn't just understand it, but they also implemented it. How? By believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they are being praised over here. But by extension, it's not just limited to them. It is for everyone, especially for the Muslims. Because in the previous ayah, we have been told that do not leave this ilm. Do not leave this ilm. And now we're told that a person who truly believes in the book is the one who recites it, is the one who understands it, is the one who implements it. So what lessons do we learn from this ayah? What lessons do we learn from this ayah? A true believer is the one who takes the entire religion and not just parts of it. He doesn't just focus on the recitation, but he focuses on application as well. We shouldn't just focus on the memorization or the proper recitation of the Qur'an only. We shouldn't just focus on that only. I'm saying only because don't think that that is unimportant. That is very, very important. That's the first step. But we should also focus on understanding what the Qur'an says. And not just understanding, but also implementing. Another very important lesson that we learn from this book is that to have the book, to recite the book, to understand the book, and to implement the book is truly a great honor. Because over here, these people are being praised. Who? Those who have been given the book. And they haven't just received the book and put it up on the shelf, no. But they read it, they understand it, and they implement it. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. أُولَٰئِكَ. أُولَٰئِكَ is used to point to the one who is far. So why is this word being used? Because they are of a very high status. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. So having the book, reading it, understanding it, implementing it is a big favor of Allah. It is truly a source of honor for a person. And also we see that just having the book alone is not enough. Just being people of the book alone is not enough. Following it, understanding it, reading it, that is what completes the iman of the person. Many times we find people say, you know, Quran is a true book of Allah and Quran is, you know, a miracle. Do you know the meaning of the Quran? No. Have you studied the Quran? No. Do you know what it says? Absolutely not. So, just having the book alone is not a means of honor, but understanding it, implementing it, is truly what brings honor to a person. Another lesson that we learn from this ayah is that everything has signs through which it becomes visible. And iman, the sign of iman, is amal. The sign of iman is amal. What is amal? Actions, deeds. When a person performs certain actions, it proves that he has iman. And one of those is what? That a person gives the haqq of the book of Allah. When you see a person focusing on reciting the Quran properly, on understanding the text of the Quran, on applying the Quran, what is that showing? That that person has iman. Because Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. So the sign of iman is what? One of the signs of iman is what? That a person gives the haqq of the book of Allah. What have you learned for yourself from the three aspects of tilawa? Everybody has rights, and the Quran has rights as well. And the rights of the Quran are many, and of them are reciting the Quran properly, understanding it, implementing. You may have noticed that the ayah that we just learned, Inna hudallahi huwal huda, that is the motto of al-huda. You will find it in the logo as well. Why? Because the guidance of Allah is the Quran. And this institute has been established, why? To promote the understanding of the Quran. Because there are many out there who are focusing on the recitation of the Quran only. Alhamdulillah, that is also one of our focuses, but our main focus over here is to give you the understanding of the text of the Quran. Because when a person develops the understanding, then he is more interested in reciting properly. Because he enjoys the Quran. And then he is able to implement the Quran as well. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به ومن يكفر به فأولئك هم الخاسرون.
So now when you read the Quran in Tajweed class, what should you think about? يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. When you try to memorize the lesson, what should you think about? يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. I shouldn't just read to get by. I shouldn't just memorize to get by. I am reading, I am learning. Why? Because I am going to give the haqq of the Qur'an. And the haqq of the Qur'an is given how? By giving the haqq completely. Not leaving anything out. Focusing on all of the aspects. So don't just consider these things to be homework. That's it. No. It's a part of iman. This is a means of helping us perfect our iman. When a person does not focus on all of the three aspects, then what is he doing? He is losing out. He is suffering loss. Many times our focus is on what? When we think of the Quran, what is our focus on? Only reciting, or when a person has died, having a khatam, or just using it for barakah, right? Yes, these are all relevant things, okay. But what's the main reason why the Qur'an was sent? Guidance. And that cannot be obtained except by understanding the book. There is a very beautiful poem that somebody once wrote about the Qur'an. I am a book in elegant prints. To know my name, here are some hints. Rich in cover and nicely bound. In hearts of Muslims, I am rarely found. High on a shelf, I am kept. Forgotten there, I am left. With respect, I do get lots of kisses. My main point is what they always miss. In a melodious voice, they recite me, neglecting the message inside me. At times, I am used for phony swear. My true use is very, very rare. A miracle I am that can change the world. All one has to do is understand my word. I have wisdom, I have treasure, so much so, there is no measure. I am your savior, I am your guide, but who's there to follow the bide? Right from wrong is my fame, Holy Quran is my name. What do we do with the Quran? Use it for these things that are mentioned in the poem. But the main reason of the Qur'an is what? To guide us. And rarely ever do we focus on that. يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِي. Focusing on all of the three aspects. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.